Blog Talk Radio.
Just a step, cried the sad man. Take a look down at the madman. Theater king's on. Silver wings fly beyond reason. From the flight of the seagull come the spread claws of the eagle. Only fear breaks the silence as we all kneel, pray for guidance. We'll be right back.
night, freaky darlings, and welcome to Late Night Poets After Midnight Show, where you get to take a walk on the wild side. If you're into the likes of Ginsberg, Bukowski, Froling, Getty, Kerouac, and Morrison, then you are on the right night. But please check out our other After Midnight shows. Join Jeremy on Thursday as he presents the headline ball, and Pam on Friday with Break On Through. Join Aphasia and Babla as they teach the fine art of being part sinner, part saint on Saturday. And every other Sunday morning, join Robert M. as he brings you the solace of shadows. These shows are designed so you can color outside the lines with rich, raw emotions, tinged with colloquial language, thereby pushing the envelope to expression and opening up new avenues of thought through pen and voice. So, pull up a chair, relax, and open your mind. I'm Rex, and my co-host Pamela and I can't wait to get into and read your words. Hey, Pam.
Hey, Rex. Are you tired there, or is the idea of saying my name just putting you to sleep?
No, I slept all day.
Oh, my goodness. Must have that I slept all day, so I'm still yawning type thing going on. But, yeah, no, life is good. Yesterday I got to go to a 50th wedding anniversary party, got to go to the beach. It was too cold to do any swimming, which was fine with me because, you know, not much of a swimmer. But, kind of walked along the beach, hung out on the dock. You know, it was just a really – been kind of some nice day. Oh, I went for a walk yesterday with my kids, so that was nice. Yeah. And yeah, life is good. How about you?
It's all right. It's rain. So
good time. Definitely those rainy days are a good time to stay indoors and get some extra rest. That's for sure. Great topic. Sorry about that. Great topic for tonight. I love the Frank Zappa quotes. Great fun.
Yeah, it'll be something different.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. You know, he was like somebody's on a five-year contest. Just, you know, his quirky genius. That's for sure.
That he was.
And we definitely got a great line of poetry. So,
all right.
Yeah.
I guess we should kick it off.
All right. Let's kick it. Sounds good to me. All right. So up first we have I'm Just Gonna Say It by Daniel Descino. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
I'm just going to say it by Daniel Descino. I'm just going to say it. We're all dumb. Proof is the fact that no one ever thinks they're dumb. And the sad part is that no one's willing to say it, because no one wants to be politically incorrect. You all realize that politically incorrect is just politically correct phrase to promoting censorship, right? Everyone's afraid of what people might think of them, even though everyone's thinking that, and that's really dumb. I went to college for 4 years, so I can get a piece of paper that said I was smart. I then used that paper to convince people to let me work for them and make them money. That's really, really dumb. In the 50s, there was such a product as asbestos pajamas to protect kids. Doctors told pregnant women to smoke so they would relax. Styrofoam was invented as a revolutionary idea. All those people are the parents and grandparents of the people in charge today. And so, the United States has Republicans and Democrats consistently calling each other evil. People laughing at the idea of global warming, and when you ask them where their garbage goes, they don't know. And a group of people who say they know the truth because somebody else told them, trying to take the Capitol building in the United States because they love it. Isn't that what abusive husbands say as they look their bruised and bloody wives in the face? talk about dumb all over and maybe a little ugly on the side. I wrote this as a poem tribute to Frank Zappa, a person that the world could desperately use right about now. I don't know if this is really a poem. It doesn't seem poetic to me, but I am basing it that on other people's expectations of what poetry should be. And what do I really know anyway? Well, I'll tell you, nothing, just like everybody else. Oh, and one last thing. Accept diversity, you are what you is, and that's all it is. End poem. All right,
great
what you got?
Read there. Well, first of all, great read there. You know, I really enjoyed this. It had a wonderful, straightforward style. I liked the way that he told his thoughts exactly. You know, I noticed in his AN, he said how much he liked, was a big fan of Frank Zappa's and how he always spoke up for free speech. You know, and this is a great write all the way through that makes some wonderful points. But some of my favorite parts were where he says, the very beginning, where he says, I'm just going to say it, we're all dumb. Proof is the fact that no one ever thinks they're dumb. And the sad part is that no one's willing to say it because no one wants to be politically incorrect. You all realize that politically incorrect is just a politically correct phrase to promoting censorship, right? I think that is definitely a statement that Frank Zappa would obviously agree with. I also like how he goes into the idea of, you know, how you get that piece of paper from college for 4 years and it convinces people that you know everything, you know, and you know, he goes into so much about our world, about life, and about the way people try to censor people, and how people have this certain, like at the end where he says, you know, about people having certain expectations of poetry, and it really doesn't matter what other people's expectations are. It's all that matters is what it is to you. And so strong write and very well done.
Dan does smack everybody upside the head with the intricacies of stupidity. And, hey, it's all right if they say this isn't allowed. Well, it's just one more little thing they've taken away because next will be what you want to say that won't be allowed. And the idea of, it is. It's all about power. It's all about conforming to what they want, so to speak. I did like that thought about the college for 4 years so I can get a piece that said I was smart and I used that paper to make money for other people, which is really, really dumb. Nice touch with that. Hell, there are plenty of people going to college. They get that piece of paper. They can't get a job because a lot of those liberal arts things, they don't actually exist as a unit of thoughts or productive value within society. So they spent $120,000 for a piece of paper that has actually no value, no more so than the toilet paper you use before you flush it down the old porcelain princess. Yes, it's the only thing that works all the way around is the board. You can't take one thing away from somebody while telling them that's not allowable. You either have free speech or you do not have anything. And the fact that people got to sit there and, oh, this is hate speech and this is that, there is no such thing as hate speech. It's just people and it's just words. If you guys feel that offended, turn the damn thing off.
Simple. Amen to that. Well said there, Rex.
What we got next?
All right. Up next, we have Pretty Pillboxes by Betty Page. And it goes like this. Pure white Xanax bars, popping them like Pez candies, drinking pink champagne, swimming in clear pools, aquamarine relaxing, floating in sunlight. She's just shooting pool, knocking in those balls with sticks while eating tacos. Sunday's grilled chicken, watching Malibu sunsets, passion fruit kisses, peach juicy sweet lips, packs a punch so tropical, smitten by rainbows, pretty pillboxes, Xanax bars lined in fine rows, intoxicates me. High on ecstasy, Molly, Mary Jane, and me, lost in Wonderland. Solves jigsaw puzzles piece by piece, eating pizzas, Hawaiian shave ice, caramel waffle cones, fine magic castles, magic cherry mystical, pomegranate wine, mysterious pussycats, indulging sinful. Blame it on the booze, razzmatazz, all that jazz, high on chandeliers, whips, chains, locks, restraints, leather, smooth satin lace, sweet menage a trois, and poem.
Great read, Pam. And Betty went with a drug is not bad. A drug is a chemical compound. The problem comes in when people who take drugs treat them like a license to behave like an asshole. My version is ecstasy, Xanax, and pink champagne can turn an innocent girl into a lustful, sinful, sexy lady. Some say a dominating bitch. Okay. Yeah, she did take that, did run the thought of Frank's idea with her own version, ecstasy, and Xanax, and pink champagne. Damn. Okay. That's definitely letting off the shackles of conformity and inhibition. They ain't wearing any clothes in this one, Betty. Although she does play with this. I like the thought running around the pool table while eating tacos. That's just a little bit messy. We got this loaded with a bunch of stuff, passion fruit kisses, peach juicy lips, sweet lips, packed with punch so tropical, smitten by rainbows. And then she adds on the pretty pill boxes, Xanax bars lined in fine rows, Xanax bars. Damn, that's, and then high on ecstasy, Molly, Mary Jane, and me, lost in Wonderland. Yeah, you're taking all that, you're definitely getting lost in Wonderland. And then she bites into a Hawaiian shaved ice. Is that a code word there, Betty?
Yeah, right? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, crap. Betty, you went overload on this, and actually, it's pretty funny. It's got some nice little bite to it, as well as the thought to your angle of twist, so to speak. All right, Pam, what you got?
Yeah, I have to say it is fun and twisted. You know, honest to goodness, if I took that much combinations of different things, I think I would just be passed out on the pool table. I certainly would be not knocking balls and eating tacos, that's for sure. But yeah, great imagery. I love the way that she plays with the words. You know, she just, like you said, she really goes over the edge, you know, being fun, creative, getting lost in the moment. I like that this is such a sensory rite. It's not only sensual, but there's so much going on. You know, there even like solves jigsaw puzzles, I think is a great line, because there's this way idea of thinking about like how, you know, the mind changes and opens up, sees new perspective with certain drugs. But I also like that she brings in so many food references, you know, caramel waffle cones, pomegranate wine. You know, I thought it was great fun when she said, blame it on the booze, razzmatazz, all that jazz. That was a very snappy line. It just sounded good. Plus, it just fits so well, like with the chosen prompt, because you know, so many times people like to like blame their behavior on the booze, on the drugs, you know. And another one I really liked was the peach juicy sweet lips packs a punch so tropical, smitten by rainbows. I just got the whole taste the rainbow idea. So excellent writing, very well done. And I will go ahead and grab the next poem. And all right. The next poem we have up is Traveling and Other Vagrant Thoughts by Oak Blue 34. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Traveling and Other Vagrant Thoughts by Oak Blue 34. Get on down to Montana, where dental floss is a major cash crop. Arizona, where chickens lay pre-cooked eggs. Oklahoma, where killing death row inmates is a 50-50 proposition. Texas, where horses and goats own most of the oil wells. California, where miners still dig for gold, although they're underaged. Nevada, where people spend too much time spinning their wheels. Massachusetts, where people still harbor regrets about long-lost tea. New York, where Trump has his power, but AG has the power. Florida, where retirees go to Disneyland, not Mar-a-Lago. Alabama, on second thought, skip Alabama. North Dakota, just because you can. South Dakota, if North Dakota is closed. Illinois, to hear Harry Carey's ghost sing, take me out to the ball game. Georgia, to investigate how many children Herschel has fathered. Maine, where everything is painted lobster red. Kansas, which let women own their own bodies. Washington, the state to see what democracy really looks like. As for the rest, there's always 2023. And poem. And he took, I might be moving to Montana soon just to raise me a crop at Denver Falls. All right, Pam, what you got?
I like this one. It made me smile and laugh, and a great read there, Rex. You know, I love the way, I enjoyed the way that this reads like a just totally quirky Frank Zappa style bucket list that, you know, that needs to be checked off. There's wonderful humor in this, right? I mean, I really liked it all the way through. I have to say some of my favorites are probably, I would say Arizona, where chickens lay pre-cooked eggs. Oklahoma, where killing death row inmates is a 50-50 proposition. Where else that? Alabama, on second thought, skip Alabama. North Dakota, just because you can. South Dakota, if North Dakota is closed. And Illinois, to hear Harry Carey's ghost sing, take me out to the ball game. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it is great all the way through. And a great punch at the end, Washington, the state, to see what democracy really looks like. As for the rest, there's always 2023. I think, honestly, I could just repeat back this whole write and enjoy every single line. I also like the nod towards lobster red in Maine. You know, very cool. Excellent write.
Thank you, Daniel. Well, I think the only real one up top is that film, Get On Down to Montana with Dana Fox and Major Gas Crop. Everything else after that comes as a really tongue-in-cheek thought. I mean, where chickens lay pre-cooked eggs in Arizona. Hey, no need to boil the stuff out here. It comes pre-done for your eating pleasure. A lot of tongue-in-cheek thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
South Dakota, North Dakota is closed. Harry Carey, I like that one. Where you go to hear Harry sing out his ghost thing, take me out to the ball game. Something that's always been celebrated as a Cubs, as the Cubs announcer for all those many years. I like that little tone in there. The idea of Maine, where everything is painted lobster red, actually that's kind of funny. Oklahoma, where killing death row inmates is a 50-50 proposition. Hey, we got one today, boys. Toss the coin. Yes. Uh-huh. You're it. Yes. And that one from Massachusetts where people still harbor regrets about long lost. Actually, you had a bit of fun with it. Maybe a bit too much fun there, Oak. But you did clearly walk into the arena of a number of states and had a bit of some barbarous fun with their locales, just like Montana with the dental floss. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he could definitely do another two or three or so of these rites. I mean, he wanted to get all 50 states in, and he definitely, like you said, you could tell he walked into the arena and had fun. So, I was actually in Maine, but unfortunately, like years ago, but unfortunately I was only at the airport, but even in the airport, everything in the airport gift shop and in the airport was lobster.
Of course. That's what Maine is known for, Maine lobster. All right, what's next?
Let's see. Did I grab the next one? That is a good question. Yes, I did. All right. All right. Try that again. And up next we have You May Never Get to This Place Again by Pink Fairy 5. And it goes like this. Embrace your anger. Take it for a walk. Spin it on its head. Walk on it. Watch it crawl in and out of ditches. Enjoy it. You may never get to this place again. If you chase it away or resent it or try to ignore it, how will you write the song you have always wanted to write? End poem.
Great, Pam. Thank you very much. And Pink took You've got to be digging it while it's happening because it just might be a one-shot deal. And to roll around with that would be the embrace your anger. I like that book. Take it for a walk. Spin it on its head. Walk on it. Watch it crawl in and out. She really let me the reins out so it can do all of its necessary traveling just to get to that place where you have always wanted to write that song you have always wanted to write. Boy, it's kind of a, let's open up the barn doors and let's see where it races to. Let it roll in the mud. Gather up the dust and the flies of yesterday. I like that song. Let it run wild. All right, you got to read it. What about you?
Oh, yeah, this is great. It's a wonderful brevity. I like how it personifies anger. I don't know if it's considered personification because it more treats anger like it's a pet, like embrace your anger, take it for a walk, spin it on its head, you know, walk on it. I don't know. You know, to me, this is just such a clever idea because, you know, it's almost like a positive look at anger, reminding you that your anger is part of you. And oftentimes the strong emotions that we feel, the things that we get most angry about. And to me, I think it's talking about that kind of righteous anger, when you're angry about injustices, you know, not like angry about, although it could be, you know, angry that somebody ate the last popsicle or something like that, you know. You know, to me, it's just about the idea that when anything you feel strongly enough about to get angry is going to make a great song, is going to make a great poem. And so, therefore, you should hold on to it. So, excellent write and very well done.
All right. Where do we go next?
All right. Up next, we have always a good question, Rex. Always a good question. All right. Try that again. Aha. We have Build the World One Brick at a Time by S. Sharp. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Build the World One Brick at a Time by Scott Sharp. Stupid is a block, a stone, a brick to build. Stack one upon the other, build the modern world. A Democrat, a Republican, provide a great foundation, a footing for the fall, for the wall that divides. The internet, etch your name in a brick, donate it to the wall. Facebook, mortar that strengthens the wall, toss that stone in, your 2 cents. A brick through the window of sanity. Do not let facts get in the way of your opinions. Arm the world, fight for freedom, your rights. Arm every man, woman, and child. They'll need it. Loaded to bear. Storm the elementary schools. Storm the Capitol. Storm the movie theaters. You'll have them climbing the wall to put another brick in it. Maybe you can take a shot at someone on the other side to capture the Capitol, protect freedom by taking away from those you don't want to have it. Civil war. Teach them to do what you want. Give them freedom to do what you want. Then give them freedom to do what you want them to do. Pray they will let you live how their God says you should, that they will let you birth another brick to put into the wall of hatred. Yeah. Stupid is a stone, a brick. Each brick stack creates the wall, crafty like a fox. Say what they all want to hear. Stoke the racial divides. Flood the world with everything they stand against. Gay rights, racial tensions, failing morality. Throw those bricks, those stones into the wall. Look what we built, a divided world. End poem. And Scott took stupidity as the basic building block of the universe. All right. What you got, Pam?
Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. I think that was one of the more popular quotes taken. I really like how he tackles this prompt and how the main message is the idea that what we are building, and there's no one person or people to point a finger at, but rather both sides, is we're building a wall of division. We're building that division in society between people now and between generations. I really like the internet, etch your name in a brick, donate it to the wall, Facebook mortar, strengthens the wall, toss a stone in, your 2 cents. I really thought that whole stanza was a really great idea, and the thought of that, so much stupidity comes out on social media, that everybody gets to put their 2 cents in, and everybody's 2 cents might as well be the word of God, in their opinion. Stupid is a stone, a brick. Each brick stack creates the wall. Crafty like a fox, say that they all want to hear, stroke the racial divides. It touches on a variety of issues. I think the most important message is that there is this a world of division that we live in, and it certainly isn't made any smarter through social media, that's for sure. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it bites into a number of things. Not blaming one side or the next, but honoring up the fact that it's coming from both angles. Yes, I like the fact too. It isn't just about the Frank Zappa quote. He drops in Pink Floyd, just another brick in the wall at that angle to conformity and walking on a singular motif, as opposed to having varied voices, and then dropping in Facebook mortar that strengthens the wall. And yeah, because of the 6 billion. Not 6 billion. Was it 2 or 3 billion people that got sitting on that platform around the world? Do not let facts get in the way of your opinions. Yeehaw. Yes, that's a great one, because today it's all about it's not about facts, because it's about the thought of the weighted volume in feelings. That's what matters. Feelings are more important than facts, even though feelings have nothing to do with facts, but you've actually got to weigh feelings into a bloody equation, because too many people are working on emotions instead of the thought of how does this work with this? And somewhere down the line, oh, yeah, that really fucked everything up. Nobody's thinking on a level where what comes today that you're building in tomorrow doesn't work the day after that. Another brick in the wall of patience. Yeah, let's teach our youth today to be just even more racist. You teach them racism so they can combat racism. Thereby, we've created more racism. Quite intelligent thoughts on that. And the family morality is a great thought on that, because the breakdown of families to the point where, hey, all of a sudden, morals, they kind of resemble a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah, because everything's out the door, or everything's exposed for the entire world to see. Nicely done, Scott. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. What are we doing?
Yeah, I have to say, I really like your catch there with another brick in the wall of Pink Floyd, and you know, not bending to conformity. And I also like how you mentioned, and I have to agree with you, it's so true that people have a difficult time separating feelings from facts. And there's a lot of people who will use that to manipulate. And so great comment
it's
there.
It's because they don't have an argument that can sustain past the facts. So the next thing up is you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're a misogynist, you're a queer hate bandit, you're this ism, that ism, every other ism across the planet, because they do not have a coherent argument that can even stand up to facts.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, up next, I'm actually going to read my poem, which I'm going to serenade you with. So I hope you're sitting down. I assume you are. All right. And this was basically used all the prompts, and for some reason it just came into my head to do it to a parody of Home on the Range. So this is Muskrats on Mars and Librarian Swords, and I apologize for this. Oh, give me a home where the huskies don't roam, where the queer and the introverts play, where never will you see snowflakes soaked in pee, and the fries, they stay crispy all day. Roam, roam through the mange, where the beer and the cantaloupe sway, where librarian swords are never absurd, and the giraffes eat whipped cream all day. Where dental floss grows high towards the chemical sky, and stripteases are commie bullfights. I'd like to exchange this awful lipstick so strange for all of the colors so bright. Poems that are strange, where the nouns and the saddles so play, where often is heard a nonsensical word, and stupidity awakens each day. How often at night when the fish people bite in the sight of muskrats on Mars, I stand here amazed with glossy-eyed gaze at a vegetable that tastes like a star. Scones on the grange, where meerkats and camel loads play, where seldom is heard an asshole's last words as his blocks get shoved in the clay. And poem, or whatever you want to call that.
Oh, yeah. Meerkats and camel loads play. Ew, that doesn't sound much like fun. They're picking out the coffee beans again. Snowflakes soaked in pee. Hello, Northerners. You having fun up there? Soaked in pee.
Yeah. That's pretty much our whole life.
You got to roam through the mange. You got to put some oil on that stuff just to get it away. And that's used car oil. It works.
Oh, really?
Exactly.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
Strip teases are commie bullfights. Wow. That's some ugly strip teasings.
Mm-hmm.
That must be Frau Blücher and who's the real? Oh, Frau Blücher and Bukowski with no clothes on. There's your commie bullfight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I like that thought.
Oh, God. Muskrats on Mars. I like the thought. A vegetable tastes like a cigar. Yeah, what was that quote he had about vegetable? Oh, tobacco is my vegetable. I don't do any other. Tobacco is my vegetable.
Yeah.
Well, librarian swords. That's got to be the pen.
Yep. So I was also, it was kind of a dual thing. Like it was, you know, the pen, but it was also the idea of, you know, I was just trying to think of some of the most ridiculous imagery I could think of. And I thought, well, why not librarians that carry around swords instead of like just quietly telling people to shush? They just, you know, tap them with a sword and then they'd be quiet. But, it was a fun write because a lot of it, I mean, there were some points to some of the lines, but a lot of them also were just the idea of just being ridiculous and having fun.
Librarian to the sword. Yes, rolling a joint in a different manner as the head flows around the classroom.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Rex, and thank you for the inspiration.
All right, then. Where are we going to go next?
All right. Up next, we have Become Stupid and See by Rain 474. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Become Stupid and See by Rain 474. The drop of intellect pulls you to the world of why that seem normal to others, but your brain finds no peace. Newton, on his such sail, embraced cool breeze. As the apple made its way down, calling Newton to unexplored town. Making where the stupidly crowned, questioning why the apple fell down, that sent his calm cells on a trek, exploring the mystery of falling apple. Presenting the world of new force, attracting all that falls and exalted, enlightening the world that was inside the dark. For he feared not the stupidity, but chose its exploratory power and dived into the ocean of unknown until he discovered the shimmering pearl and poem. And Rain took stupidity as the basic building block of the universe. All right, what do you think?
This was a great write, wonderful read there. What I like about it is the direction that he took this in. I like that he gives, you know, makes us think about the idea that stupidity isn't always necessarily a bad thing. Like if you look at stupidity as not necessarily as not being willing to learn or not being able to learn, but more of the idea of looking at it as not having all the knowledge, but being willing to, being open to learning new things. Like, you know, like how many people would have, you know, thought, you know, that Newton in his time when he got hit by in the head by that apple and started thinking about what causes the apple to fall, would have thought how might have thought how silly and ridiculous that is. But he didn't, like as he says, for he feared not the stupidity, but chose his exploratory power and divided the ocean of unknown until he discovered the shimmering pearl. You know, I think to me the main message that I get from this, and I like that he uses Newton as an example and carries, there's also the great thing about this poem is that it can carries a consistency in theme. And I like how this is that, you know, if you don't know something and you have questions, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to learn about what you want to learn about, no matter what anyone else thinks. So excellent write and very well done.
All right. Nicely said. Well, he dropped it in that first opening stanza. The drop of intellect pulls you into the world of wise that seem normal to others, but your brain finds no peace. That is where the length of stupidity really sits, is when you stop asking why or what for or how, then you cease to be engaged with that which is around you, because then you either have the idea of you know everything, or you could care less about anything. So the back end is more appropriate. The idea of questioning is so that you understand that which occurs. And it puts forth the notion of putting those you put in office to task. Why did you do that when you said you were going to do this? So the idea of questions should always be on the tip of one's tongue, not on the back end of one's ass, as you're crapping out that which you've been fed. All right.
Well,
next?
Absolutely. Well said there, Rex. And up next we have To Be or Not to Be, a poem by Firdaus Parvez. And it goes like this. On Saturday, I watched my wit ride into the sunset with my muse. It's heartbreaking when you've lost your sense of humor and sass in one night. So I phoned her, and before she could say a word, I blabbered, "I'm sorry, come back." She was out of breath, and Witty McAss was chuckling in the background. There's always the dictionary, I thought, and looked up all the ugly words. There aren't enough of them to say or write when you want to scream at someone. I'd rather rely on a fictional giraffe filled with whipped cream than Her Royal Highness. But she was back last night, a little worse for the wear, and I got my wits around me. So here's the not poem. End poem.
Bravely, Pam. And Curtis took, you can't always write a chord ugly enough to say what you want to say, so sometimes you have to rely on a giraffe filled with whipped cream. I like the bite in this. Nice tone of sarcasm and just a bit of fun. The sort of your wit and muse rolling out on you all at once. So you kind of left at a loss for words. And the beg back, please come back, please come back. Because you need to get something out, but it's not coming and it's not working. The idea is, hey, she's off on a bender. You got to wait until she decides to come back and enlighten you once more with some sarcastic bit of witticism from her travels. And in the meantime, I didn't like that thought with the giraffe and the whipped cream than Her Royal Highness. At least with the giraffe and whipped cream, you can see that 4-foot tongue come out and spit some whipped cream all over the place. Might offer a bit of fun. All right, what about you?
This one was excellent. It had brilliant humor. You know, I really like how she wrote, she decided to write to that prompt. She said in her AN, this prompt was so funny, I just had to attempt something ridiculous. And she even said in her response to my comment that it was fun to be ridiculous for a change. Because, you know, I love Firdaus's poetry, but she tends to write more serious stuff. And to see her just let loose and have fun is really cool. I particularly like, I did like that she tied in the giraffe and the whipped cream. I'd rather rely on a fictional giraffe filled with whipped cream than her Royal Highness. Because let's face it, sometimes the muses can be picky and we just have to, as you mentioned, just wait for them. But another part that really cracked me up was she was out of breath and Witty McAss was chuckling in the background. That part makes me laugh. What was that show, Grey's Anatomy, where they would call him Dr. McSexy or something like that?
I don't know.
Okay, I haven't. It trust me, it's not worth seeing. I've seen just enough, and to know that there was a doctor that on there they called Dr. McSexy. And so the play with names was really great there and cracked me up. But I like how it treats like the muse leaving you like a breakup with the whole idea of, so I phoned her and before she could say a word, I blabbered, I'm sorry, come back. You know, wonderful lines, great humor, and very well done.
All right, where are we going next?
I predicted you were going to ask that. And apparently I didn't predict it well enough because I didn't grab the next poem. All right. Let me try this again. All right. All right. Looking here and here we go. I got to tell you, tonight we actually have a pretty, like, even lineup. Like, sometimes we have more men writing for the prompts. Sometimes we have more women. So far tonight, this has been a pretty even lineup of men and women writing. Very cool. And up next we have There is a Madness of Need Indeed by Lord of Beads. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
There is a madness of need, indeed, by Lord of Beads. Yes, medicine is so effective, both deceptive and addictive, a shortcut to numb protesters, a kind of doping to win stupid races. We take the drug and get relief, but most of its effect is psychological in life. Holy pills take religious people to space. They feel carry good deeds in a suitcase. Religious verses are the worst kind of drugs. Those who accept them behave like the drunk ones. The neediest person put himself in the position of kind God and ordered his supporters to kill his opponents. The most stupid people kill their kind in the hope of going to heaven. If you have a drug stronger than religion, I need it. End poem. And he took a drug is not bad. A drug is a chemical compound. The problem is comes in when people take drugs, treat them like a license, behave like an asshole. And stupidity is the basic building block of the universe. I took two.
All right, Dan, what you got?
I like the straightforward style in this. I like the strong way he expresses his thoughts. And I have to agree, there is so much about religion that can be you know, controlling and addictive, like just like, you know, how drugs can be. Now, you know, I, for one, don't dismiss medicine simply because, well, for one, I take it to help control my seizures and other things. So, you know, so I know it has its purpose, but I also know that there just seems to be too many examples of over-medicating. And you watch some of these commercials, and the list of the side effects seems worse than the actual affliction itself. I like how he, like what he does really well here is he blends really well one thought into the next. Like he goes on from, you know, like where he says, we take the drug and get relief, but most of its effect is psychological in life. Holy pills take religious people to space. They feel safe, carry good deeds in a suitcase. So seamlessly, he kind of blends from one topic to the next, from the actual physical medicine that people take to the medicine of religion. And I like how he says they carry good deeds in a suitcase. It's almost like that idea of people who don't do good deeds because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be kind to each other and for no other reason than that we should be taking care of our fellow mankind. But rather they use their good deeds as a kind of a social, not social, like, that's the word I'm looking for, to make themselves look better. Like, I can't think of the exact word, but it's all about for their own glory, to make themselves look good. And I like the bite in the end. If you have a drug stronger than religion, I need it. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Lord did take two, and he ran it as I like the thought that the a full out metaphor running because it hits on a couple of things: a shortcut to non protesters, yes; a kind of doping to win stupid races, yes again. Because if you're doping the masses with that thought that's effective, then you're the one that gets to sit on top, take the drug and get released, yes. Holy pills make religious people to space they feel carry good deeds in a suitcase. Yes, there's that notation of being forgiven in the moment for all those deeds that you will be carrying out in the name of this particular bit of religious nonsense that's being thrown down. And for yes, you will go to heaven. Yes, you will get your 76 virgins. Yes, you will have everything on the other side. But you have to do this first to please your God. Kind of a strange opposition when you think of what the words in the books are to begin with. I think he's biting at the hardcore cultist fanatics who take and bastardize the religion beyond the words of in the religion to the point where it just feeds a sanctimonious mind. Orders to support us to kill opponents. Most stupid people kill that kind in hope of going to heaven. There's that turnabout of offering up one particular sect because they don't follow the exact guidelines of the other one. So they must be rid of. And there is no drug stronger than religion. That's true. And it's how it's used is the paraplegic that walks the mind, so to speak. All right, Pam, what we got next?
All right. Up next, we have Grandpa's Husky by Nan529, and it goes like this. Now, Grandpa had a husky. He was an old dog, but boy, you don't want to get behind him. Man, he was slow. That dog was so old, he couldn't raise his leg. That dog was so old, he should have been dead. He hated a hot day, why he laid beneath the apple tree panting in the shade. He'd lay there outside the barn, even on a cold winter night. When it snowed, boy, he loved it cold. Now, Grandpa, he loved the bones of that old dog, but he used to chuckle watching him when it snowed. Silly old sod, he'd say. That dog, so blind, he's eating yellow snow. Well, he would call him in and rub him down with an old towel. One winter's night, Grandpa got caught in a blizzard. Truck stopped dead. Damn, said Grandpa as he got out. He couldn't see his hand in front of him as he stumbled. It was his old husky that found him that night. Otherwise, he would have been dead. The tale was told over and over again. Many nights around the fire, all would listen. Grandpa used to say as he stroked the dog's head, just goes to show there's life in the old dog yet. For whatever you do, don't eat yellow snow. End poem.
There you can. Yeah. I'm going to bit into that idea and the song itself. Don't you go with us, you go, and don't you eat that yellow snow. All right. This was funny. It's on that idea. Well, kind of should have put the old dog down, but then again, the old dog might be a little on the blind side eating its own yellow pea, and still, it did get Grandpa home on that one winter day when the truck blew, and he got lost in the darkness, so to speak. So, some things you got to keep because, hey, they might seem stupid, but they're also good for laughs, having them around. Not to mention, some things you don't ever let go until it's really time. And Grandpa's not letting this one go until it is time. Nicely done, man. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one, too. I have to agree with you. It is funny. It's also, besides being funny, it is also just really heartfelt. Like, I like how it has that sense of humor, but it also connects with the idea of how someone can grow close to a pet and how the love that's felt there. And I like how you mentioned Rex in your comment. I have to agree with you that, you know, it was a good thing he hadn't put the old dog down yet. I like how she tied in the prompt really great info. You know, like she really can tell that either she did have somebody who had a husky, a grandpa who had a husky, or she just, you know, knows that about them well. Because, yeah, they obviously, you know, they love snow. They love being outside. They don't do well in hot weather. I do enjoy that ending with the just goes to show there's life in the old dog yet. And what I like is the duality of that line, because the old dog refers not only to the dog, but the grandfather himself. So excellent write and very well done.
What's up next?
What's up next? All right, good question. Do-do-do. All right. And good to see Poeta hanging on the board. All right. Up next, we have Stupid People by Julie Buck. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Stupid People by Julie Buck. Fucking stupid people just piss me off. What happened at birth to cause this defect? It has to be genetic. I refuse to argue with stupid. The frustration's maddening. I'd rather gnaw off my arm and shove it up their idiot asses. But wait, some of the smartest people I've met are stupid. One needn't cancel out the other. What a revealing kick in the head. Fuck, I'm too moronic to think. Gather simpletons, hear what's being said. Flaws and loopholes and flat-out bullshit in legislation just makes me shake my head in political disgust. If the ones running the show are stupid, then how fucked are we? Did we elect them? Stupid trickles down our knees. like an incontinent old lady's piss. Being stupid too. I don't know about you, but I can't take no more of this. End poem.
Great read, Rex. I tell you, Julie just, she's always so great at doing that raw, gritty, biting humor and imagery that works so well. It's a great take on the prompt. I love the punch that she has in this. It has to be genetic. I refuse to argue with stupid people. The frustration's maddening. Let's see. One needn't cancel. But wait, some of the smartest people I've met are stupid. You know, because there's just different variations or different ideas of what stupid is. I really like where she says, one needn't cancel out the other. What a revealing kick in the head. Fuck, I'm too moronic to think. Gather, simpletons, hear what's been said. Flaws and loopholes and flat-out bullshit and legislation that makes me shake my head in political disgust. If the ones running the show are stupid, then how fucked are we? Did we elect them? And that is a really good question and a really good point that she makes. And the metaphor, the imagery of stupid trickles down our knees like an incontinent old lady's piss. I like how she uses that for the idea of the trickle effect and how stupidity just gets passed along. So excellent write and very well done.
Well, thank you, man. I think that trickles down on me is that kind of notion of the best part of you washed down the inside of your mama's thighs. Otherwise, you're just another Egypt. Let's see what else got here. The thought in this, she's biting at this because she also hits her on herself with a, where was it? Being stupid too. I don't know about you, but I can't take no more of this. So the idea is, especially considering she hits on that notion, did we elect them? Which begs the question, are we too stupid to even realize the fact of what we are doing? The continued fornication of putting it back despite their promises, which are actually lies. So the idea begs the question, how stupid are we to keep putting stupid people back in office? And the funny thing is, a good portion of the smartest people on earth are also the stupidest. Because they don't work on common sense thought. They work in practicality and theoretics, so they often come up with some of the most egregiously stupid things when it doesn't concern their particular field of endeavor. If they're just talking about something else, you got to realize, oh, shit. I mean, Einstein couldn't tie his own shoes. He just had better things to do with his mind. But you look at what we got today. There's a whole lot of people out there saying a whole lot of stupid, especially when it comes to certain things. You got to roll the thought across the table. Hey, the Don't Say Gay bill. Well, show us where it says don't say gay. The Don't Say Gay bill. Well, yeah, well, show us. Because it doesn't say it anyway. But they got to throw the shit out there to keep the non-intellectual side of people completely stupid. Because the more you believe into a singularity without actually doing any investigatory thoughts upon your own, then you know what? You deserve. You're being just as stupid as the people who are actually feeding you the stupidity that you're dining upon. All right, where are we going next?
All right. Great comment there, Rex. Up next, we have Five a Day by A.R. Mundell, and it goes like this. Forget the sweet and pepper, the carrots and the peas. Cucumbers are inferior. There's nothing quite like these. They bring me so much pleasure, always get my 5 a day. I oft consume all that by noon. They're addicting, what can I say? The scraggly leafy goodness, I just can't stay away. Wrapped in paper, lit on fire, they get me through the day. End poem.
That was funny. 5 a day. Hey, there's a nice 5 joints in that. Keep you going. I do like the thought of that open. Look at that. Forget the sweet and pepper, the carrots and the peas. Cucumbers are inferior. There's nothing quite like these. They bring me so much pleasure. Always get my 5 a day. I've consumed all that by noon. They're addicted. What can I say? And then the bite in the back end of scraggly leafy goodness. This is played out well for a short piece of 12 lines and not a whole lot of words. What do you think?
Yeah, I really liked the rhyme and flow, the lyrical quality to this. I have to say, I think it's funny, and I've done this before myself too, where you just don't know why a prompt strikes a chord with you, but where she says in her AN, not sure why this prompt struck a chord with me, as I've never smoked and never can, on pain of slow agonizing death, laugh out loud, but the mind is a funny thing. I like how she puts herself into the shoes of someone who smokes and does it with a sense of humor. I have to say, I like this all the way through. But the lines, I oft consume all that by noon, they're addicting, what can I say? And then leading into the next one, they're scraggly, leafy goodness, I just can't stay away. Wrapped in paper, lit on fire, they get me through the day. She could do jingles. Just a fun write, really spot on for the chosen prompt, and very well done.
All righty, what we got next?
All right, and up next we have Brown Lipstick by Poeta de Cabra. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Brown Lipstick by Poeta de Cabra. We all know one. Every crowd has one of those. You know the sort of the boss's boss, real brown nose. Runs to the boss when other workers are having fun. Only know he's there because shoes are hanging from the boss's bum. Can't get himself a girlfriend. He's just a very sad and sorry schmuck. Wouldn't be able to kiss her, cause to the boss's butt, his lips are stuck. Even when a kid at school, he was a suckhole, a real teacher's pet. Other kids would be smoking, he'd be cleaning blackboard or reciting alphabets. I might be out the back room, drinking and having sexual relationships, whilst brown noser is in the office, kissing boss's rectum with his shit lips. Have no time at all for them. Low-life maggots, they really make me sick. Surely you know the sort. Poofy little buggers wearing brown lipstick. And poem. Ma'am?
Yep, sorry. I was on mute. I was laughing. I was. This cracks me up. Wonderful humor about the brown noser, the ass kisser. And, I honestly, when I saw that prompt and you put the contest up, I thought, I wonder if anybody is going to take this prompt in this direction. And sure enough, I mean, Poeta, I think this was a perfect prompt for him. He's got this kind of sense of humor. It works so well. And I like it all the way through. It's got great rhyme and flow. Runs to the boss when others workers are having fun. Only knows he's there because shoes are hanging from boss's bum. Can't get himself a girlfriend. He's just a very sad and sorry schmuck. Wouldn't be able to kiss her because to the boss's butt, his lips are stuck. Oh, man, this is just great. This is just great. I love the phrase, poofy little buggers wearing brown lipstick. Excellent right there, Poeta. Very well done.
And I think he was worried about the language. Hey, Poeta, you don't have to worry about the language after midnight. Because he managed to talks in his boss's backside on a number level. The boss is ass, the boss is bum, the boss is butt, the boss is rectum. And then managed to, at the bottom, yeah, filthy little bugger wearing brown lipstick. Yeah, we've all known one of those. Yes, the ass kisser, that teetotaling turd licker, having fun at the back end of Royal Relief. God almighty. This was too funny. Poeta. And yeah, it is right up your alley for the voice that was often through it. And you had a bit of fun. You had way too much fun with it.
I'm certainly glad he did. I'm certainly glad he did have way too much fun. Very cool.
The Kyber pet, I like that sort. Oh, yeah. A place where no one returns from.
Oh, my gosh. Too funny.
What's next?
All right. Up next, we have Progress by Matt 29, and it goes like this. Submitting to cultural norms is like cutting off your life supply. Difference is freedom, defiance, and the expression of choice. Conformity takes this away, cutting it to shreds like splinters. Choices and ideas sunk without trace in a miasma of control. A world where dehumanization is present, like being at war, fighters unable to feel like in the film Full Metal Jacket, where bullying was second nature along with killing. The same indoctrination like the Germans under Hitler. Believing in a society with no blemishes, disabilities, where only blonde was the stronger personality. All books that said anything different were burnt. The truth was stories that were never read. Taking out the radical and disobedient is expiring the light, the expression of creativity which burns strongest, sprouting new accessibility to thinking, discovering change, instead of stamping out the fire as if it never occurred. Great writers, artists, and idealists all discarded normalistic thinking, determining to formulate ideas from the strangest of places, never thinking, can this be true, or how crazy, instead maneuvered, bringing their concepts to life, amazing everyone who beholded them. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. That angle of where things to be where things seem to be headed right now, with the idea of cutting off this, that, and everything else, and you have to conform to this ideal. If you say this, you get cut off at the knees. No more bank. No more voice. No more actual angle to pay. You can't go out. You can't eat. You can't do this. The socialization project that they're trying to push across the world as, we have to walk on this. This social credit system is a plethora of hell. The Chinese are starting to fight against that crap that's going on over there that you want to push all the way over the hell over here. Easy point on this is those they call it their suborbital charge, so to speak, they don't give a rat's ass about people. They could care less if half of everybody in their particular country died off. It makes things simpler for them. Why? Control the population when there's less. So, if you don't think the idea of why people are dying in huge clusters here, there, and everywhere, why wars are oft fought, why there's this push to this and that push to that, it's because they can't stand the fuck out of it. They want the least amount of this on the planet because they think everything is theirs to have. And we're but the renters along the planet.
All right.
All right, Pam. What do you think?
All right. Great comment there, Rex. I really thought this was a strong right on, he chose a quote, without deviation from the norm, progress is not possible. And I like how he touches on the idea that it's not only important for self-expression through, like, writers and artists and idealists, but also the idea of living life to the fullest that, you know, we can't let other people, as you were touching on, control and manipulate the population to meet, to bend to their desires or their, you know, what they think society should be. I like that he brought up a world where dehumanization is present, like being at war, fighters unable to feel like in the film Full Metal Jacket, where bullying was second nature along with killing, the same indoctrination like the Germans under Hitler. He really goes also into, I like that he mentions the book burning, and, you know, because that's what people want to, that's how you control people. You keep knowledge away from them. You don't let them think for themselves. You don't let them read things that will encourage them to think for themselves. So just really a strong right on the importance of free speech and creative thinking, and very well done.
Well, we might be the last free speech bastion across the world, because every other country out there has got laws on the books which curtails free speech. I mean, hell, there what was a few weeks ago, a guy in England, I think he was a former cop. He got arrested because he took the rainbow flag and he fashioned it back into a swastika as a thought to what's going on and how everything is being bent and given easily one way. And he got arrested for it.
Yeah, well, I tell you, it's a strange world we live in nowadays, that's for sure.
All right, what we got next?
All right, up next we have The Best Music by Leon Scheid. And Rex, will you give that a read for us, please?
The Best Music by Leon Scheid. I sat in class and heard his music. The teacher who loved music, he told me of the finest symphonies, sonatas, operas, toccata and fugue, birthday odes, pomp and circumstance, song spiels, studies, choral works, and scherzos. I listened as he played them all, in silky liquid notes trilling, harmonic strings and crispest bass, mellow woodwind and pertinent percussion, and I dreamed dreams on those beautiful melodies, then said, and what of the guitar? He reddened somewhat and coughed. I suppose there are some classical guitars, but really, a guitarist is not for great music. And almost preened himself on his opinion, and he would have not listened, and he would not listen to my music, Vai, Satriani, Hendrix, Page, just a few of those who made my heart sing, by playing a lowly guitar. Saddened, I went to leave, but he began to play the most beautiful melody, a sweeping sound that bound my heart. I was transfixed and could not stir me. He smiled. You see, he said, but just as I was about to bow to his wisdom, The music slipped from off the stand and gracefully floated to the floor. I bent to rescue the wondrous thing. As my eyes wandered over its smooth surface, there was my saving grace. For this was the Symphonie Fantastique, and written by Berlioz, the guitarist. And Paul. All right, Pam, what you got?
A great read there, Rex. I thought this was a wonderful write on the idea that beautiful music comes in all forms, and that we should be open-minded to all ideas of music that can move people from classical to rock, and shouldn't look down our noses at any type of instrument. And I like the presentation of this story and how the ending, there was my saving grace, for this was the Symphonie Fantastique and written by Berlioz, the guitarist. I really like that what she says in her AN that about how sometimes we get hung up on what genre of music is the best. I mean, we all have our opinions, and that's fine, because music is a very personal thing. But, you know, as she mentions, you know, many of those classic composers would have been very open to trying new instruments, you know. I thought this was a wonderful write, and I love the names she brings up, like, Hendrix and Page. I have to admit, I don't recognize the other two names, but, you know, Jimmy Page and Jimi Hendrix, you know, just great, great choices of very talented guitarists. A wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Penny. Well, it's kind of funny because Page actually does do a classical and always has a real classical in his music. I forget what it is, a piece by, Bach. He does. It's made for piano, but he does it on his guitar. It's about a 2.5-minute piece, but it's really gorgeous, him getting those kind of sounds from his guitar and playing classical angle of it. And that's what this is all about, the fineness. Because you look at a lot of the old guys, they were into classical. Keith Emerson, classically trained. The same thing with... what's his name? I can't think of his name at all. It doesn't matter. But they all came out of something. They had a lot of folk in their backgrounds. There was Big Mouth from Aerosmith. A lot of classic in him. You look at Eddie Van Halen. His father played music too, more on the classic side. So they had that in their backgrounds. And the idea is kind of not taking one from the other, but making that little jump assessment where one can use a touch of something along those lines. I mean, Ian Anderson said it well. It's just another monkey playing the same four or five different notes in a different order. Because he hit on the great classics of dun 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 dun, the first great riff of all time, and then he hits on the dun 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 down down, and he runs through a couple of really good songs that all hit on the same basic notes, and that was A Whole Lot of Love. You had the Locomotive Breath and something from Deep Purple, which all hit on the same basic note, but all played a touch differently, but producing something remarkable. And he said it's all a hit and miss thing sometimes. But this is pretty funny that you got back into this. He's the teacher's a little on the embarrassed note by saying the guitar is not worthy yet. That's what he's listening to.
Oh, I have to agree. Absolutely. Great comment. All right. And Up next, we have Affinity by Mermaid. And it goes like this. Kissing lips of velvet petals, rose pose, dewdrops of luster, fulfillment touches air in a taste, forgotten by lymph womb colors, contradicting strung blurred wings, dreams we cannot taste, senses left behind, most of the time clenched, blood-curdling screams as the cold of night froze upon us, trembling in fear, casting shadows of off past memories too close to name, walled-in fugitives filled with disease, a small skylight to those remembered. We sacrifice our dreams and give in to the cradle snapped from branches of crux kernel vegetables like fairy tales watered down, forgotten pothead seedlings, tribulations creating absurdity, begging where were you when all life left false insecurities, running like a kid through drought-ridden wheat fields, wind-blown through a life of insurmountable triviality. And poem. Oh, and I should mention that this was actually a collaboration written with Nick Courtney.
Okay. It seems there is a touch between two angles here. That the bottom two stands walled in fugitives filled with disease, a small skylight to those remembered. We sacrifice our dreams and give into the cradle snaps and branches of crux kernel vestibules, like fairy tales watered down, forgotten pothead seedlings. It's almost a notation of you can walk that right that stands right there into how a lot of people were treated for the pandemic. And the thought of being locked away in a singularity, tribulations creating absurdity, begging. Where were you when all life left false insecurities, running like the idea that how easy it was to be locked away in such a notation and be denied the life and liberty, and that's an absurd notion of taking away freedom, rights, and telling people, you know, do what we say, we know best, we always know best. All right, how about you?
Well said there, Rex. Let's see, they wrote the quote, to me, absurdity is the only reality. I really like the imagery and metaphors in this. I like how visceral this is with the idea of delving into the womb, contradicting strung, blurred wings, dreams we cannot taste, senses left behind. I like the thought of senses left behind because I think it's kind of the idea of instead of, you know, kind of the idea of trusting our instinct, of not always having to depend on the taste, the touch, the hearing, you know, the sight, but rather an instinctual, almost spiritual sense of self. Tribulations creating absurdity, begging where were you when all life left false insecurities, running like a kid through drought-ridden wheat fields. I think that end stanza to me speaks on going back to a time of innocence before, you know, all we were bombarded with the insecurities, when we were just children who felt free to run and you know, be ourselves. I also like the mention of the watered-down fairy tales. I think the watered-down fairy tales really makes a great social commentary for the society that we live in nowadays. You know, like how people want to water down those dreams, water down those thoughts of individuality. So excellent write and very well done.
All right. What we got next?
All right. Let's see here. Up next, we have "The Closer You Are, the Brighter the Flames in My Heart" by Eden Gray. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read.
"The Closer You Are, the Brighter the Flames in My Heart" by Eden Gray. Combustible, you are so combustible. It is a song I wrote to tell you how I felt. Burned it up. Nothing is real that doesn't die. I die a little more every time I see you, every time you are close, but then I burned it up. Love is a chord in F minor. I wrote this song for you. I wrote it using oxygen and my red guitar, but then I burned it up. All this is not an illusion. Art is an illusion, is an illusion solution. I can't even get close to you without I'm burning up, but then I burned it up. The flames, they travel higher. My love and my desire. I just stopped burning up. I wrote you a love song of how I feel, but then I burned it up. I burned it up." And cool.
Great read, Rex. I really liked the meter and the beat to this. I thought it was a wonderful tribute to music, to the love of music. Isn't there a song that actually starts with "I wrote you a love song"? If there isn't, I think there should be. Or there's something that has a similar start to that. But I like this. "Love is a chord in F minor. I wrote this song for you. I wrote it using oxygen and my red guitar. And then I burned it up. And this is not an illusion. Art is an illusion solution. I can't get even close to you without I'm burning up, but then I burned it up. There really is to me this great take and this prompt of the passion within the heart, the burning within the heart that translates into music, into poetry. And I like how this to me is about how we just pour our entire selves into that which we create, especially when it comes to love. So excellent write and very well done.
Well, that's a full explanation. I can't top, but I guess I'll drop in the back end of this, the thought of hitting all those right notes, combustible, and the repeat of "but then I burned it up." I kind of hits on that thought of it was too hot to handle in the moment, so I just burned up because I can't give it to you. But he also had some oxygen. You need oxygen to for the fire to keep going. And the thought of red guitar hits on that note of burning as well. Without burning up. Kind of hits on the name of the song itself, too. Without I'm burning up. The flames that travel higher. Nothing is real, doesn't die. I die a little more every time I see you, every time you're close, but then I burned it up. Kind of hits on that note. It might be the actual guitar itself, too. The thought of hitting it up so hard with his play that he burns out the amp, and that is the end of the tune in the moment.
I like that thought, and you're right. Yeah. I like that thought. Very cool. All right. Up next, we have "Open Mind" by Adikran, and it goes like this. "The mind is the essential part of our body. My mother used to tell me when I was a kid, see things with your open eyes. And as I was growing, she changed her words and told me to see things with an open mind. I need to clarify this with her about why she has changed her statement. And she told me, now as a grown-up child, you understand better what I am talking about due to the understanding you gained over the years about the world. She explained to me that the mind is like a parachute. If it does not open, it does not work. We keep the parachute closed and keep it with us till we need to open it, to open, and once we open it, we could land safely in it the same way we need to see things with an open mind and try to act safely, same as this parachute. If you have an open mind, you could see things widely and you are unbiased to find the truth behind it. You can then act accordingly on the right path based on your own findings. But if it is closed and you could only see the narrow bit of it and unable to see the wider range. End poem.
Very good. Thank you very much. The open mind. Based on that notion, those prophetic words you get your mother reminds me of Simple Man by Leonard Skinner, the thought of take these words and someday they'll help you to understand and be a simple kind of man instead of no one understands yourself is the idea. And that kind of hits on the same framework of keeping your mind open and seeing things beyond that which you might not call your own as a venue, but then again you have to look at, because you walk across many ideas and many thoughts and many different realms throughout your life, so you have to be open-minded to that which comes along, but also smart enough to take in that which does apply to you and can help you benefit you along the way. And that parachute, as it opens, gives you the comfort in knowing that you do have some groundwork that gives you the opportunity to comment on that, as opposed to not being not having it to begin with because you kept your mind closed. I like this. A little bit different. What about you?
Yeah. I like that you brought up that song, Simple Man, by Leonard Skinner. And you're right, this does have that same kind of feeling. And I love that song, and I love this kind of poetry where it's words of wisdom passed down from a parent or a grandparent to a child. The part about the mother saying to her as a child, open your eyes, you see things with your eyes open, made me think of how children oftentimes, really young children, especially toddlers, think if they can't see you, you can't see them. So in order to hide, they'll just simply close their eyes. And I like how that it becomes this comfort, like the advice changes to open your mind. And it becomes a conversation between her and her mother about the importance of having an open mind and how, or it says, you can then act accordingly on the right path based on your own findings. And that goes back to what you were saying earlier, Rex, about how people depend too much on emotions rather than facts. And here, you know, you open your mind to the variety of truths, but at the same time, you then make your own decision based on your findings. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Excellent. All right. Where are we going next? And I did add the last one onto the board too. We got another entry.
What's that?
Said we got another entry.
Well, those weren't from your contest. And
the one I just put on the board, yeah.
Oh, you put one on the board. Okay. Okay, then I will we'll put that one up. Okay, sorry. I kind of got a little confused about what you were saying there. Okay, let me refresh, and then I'll go ahead and grab that. All right. Aha, there we go. right. And all right. Stupidity was my dad's favorite word by Perfect Sunset. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read, please.
Stupidity was my dad's favorite word by Perfect Sunset. I stumbled across a dead moon sky black shirt with fire cherry bomb, blood red fine print that blew a gust of wind right through my rib cage. Like the ghost of you. Laughing wildly as a brown bear hyena hybrid at the quote that read, stupidity comes in all shapes and sizes. Some of them even look like people. And I can hear your laughter in my bones like an ocean caked in conch shells that cradled your voice after you left this earth. Like a fleeting comet, a vapor, a sprig of wind that left behind a lingering scent a coconut from your riptide curl black peppered salted silver hair. And my lungs inhaled that quote deeply, your slight as a cardinal's feather tolerant for ignorance, tickling my veins for a rise of emotion and comical relief. Reminding me of the oil back greasy as penguin skin hillbilly on a bike crossing the thick as hell's handbasket traffic infested intersection on a red light pedestrian walk with a scarlet pumpkin orange hand flashing. And if you were alive, hearing you say, whoa, you're going to need a license to ride that bicycle, you moron. And to the kid riding a banana yellow bicycle at the beach with a key lime pie green helmet on, I don't know, what are you going to do, kid? Crash into a wave? I learned a wealth of wisdom from you about the level of stupidity in humanity and how those two will always be married, entangled in starstruck infatuation, holding hands like two wildcat scarlet-ass baboons eat bananas until the world brightens up. End poem. Damn. Stupidity is the basic building block of the universe was Sunset's quote choice. All right. What do you think?
Oh, I like this one. It had wonderful sense of humor, great imagery, very creative. Love how she brings in the imagery and the sense. I thought it was a wonderful tribute to her dad and his straightforward way of what appears to be a straightforward way of thinking and his sense of humor. I really related to the whole, like, riding on the bike thing. And I know she mentions the color of the bike is banana yellow, but, you know, I couldn't help but think of the bike I had as a little girl with that was like this, had flowers on it and had one of those banana seats. I really like that the imagery of reminding me of the oil-backed greasy as a penguin skin hillbilly on a bike crossing the thick as hell's handbasket traffic infested intersection on a red light pedestrian walk with a scarlet pumpkin orange hand flashing. it kind of reminds me of that comedian that does the here's your sign routine. You know, the whole idea that stupid people need signs. I also really liked the imagery, like a fleeting comet, a vapor, a sprig of wind that left behind a lingering scent of coconut from your riptide, curl black pepper, salted silver hair. All the way through, this is a wonderful balance, a combination of being sentimental and funny at the same time. I learned a wealth of wisdom from you about the level of stupidity and humanity, and how those two will always be married, entangled in a star-stuck infatuation. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Yep, this was the first five stanzas kind of hit on that note of dad and the memory flooding back. And then the back and last four stanzas hit on the memories of two particular to emphasize the thought there of the quote taken. reminding me of the All Back Greats at the Penguin Hillbilly on a bike. And I thought, whoa, you're going to need a license to ride that bicycle, you moron. And then to the kid riding a banana yellow bicycle at the beach, key lime pie green helmet on, uttering, hey, what are you going to do, kid? Crash into a wave? Two thoughts. Those are easy. They're simple, they're direct, but they pack a bit of a punch because they are kind of they hit on that note of, yeah, those are really bad dad jokes, but they work. Now, the last stanza also walks into the fact that those two previous stanzas, or three, hit on a singularity, and that is those two, the hillbilly on the bike with the oil back greasy hair, and the banana yellow bicycle with the lime pie green helmet were boy and girl who now sit in that last stanza as about the level of stupidity and humanity and how those two will always be married, entangled in starstruck infatuation, holding hands like two wild scarlet ass baboons eating bananas until the world brightens up. Hits on how under the radar they really are, and nothing else matters above that radar. How they're totally underwhelmed with the world as it is, except their little patch of it. Thank you, Sunset. That was good. All right, I guess
absolutely.
We got time for them.
Well, instead of trying to push another one through, why don't we just, promote some upcoming shows that need rights? Wrap things up.
What do you got for Twisted Tuesday, which is now today?
Well, tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, readers and commenters are welcome. The topic is The Art of Isabel Menon, which has is basically the theme is flowers. So the contest, I'm going to let it close, but people are always welcome to share something on the topic board. Louie Wildove is running a contest for The Art of Seduction with a quote from Pablo Neruda. Richard Wiseman is running a contest for In Our Craft or Saul and Art for Saul and Art for Thursday, which is quotes by Herman Melville. For Break On Through, the next Break On Through, I've got the artwork of and quotes of Yayoi Kusama. And I'm trying to think if there was something else I've missed. Oh, yes. And all of these contests need rights. So make sure to check them out. Make sure to check out all the contests put out by all our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And definitely make sure to check out our contest for next week's After Midnight show, which is what I'm running. And that is Stone Temple Pilot. That's a song line, just individual lines, not entire songs, from the albums Core and Purple by Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay. I guess you've covered just about everybody, haven't you? Saturday is...
Most of it except for Sunday.
Isn't Saturday the crisis this week?
Yes. I don't know what their topic is, but Bobby always runs the contest for exploring his crisis.
He's always got some really
great art. Yeah, always art prompts, always some great choices of prompts. Oh, and for after midnight on Thursday. Headliners Ball, yes. Jeremy is going to be headlining Robert M. and Betty Page.
Oh, that's total opposites of the rainbow.
I know, right? Oh, my goodness. Wow. I don't know how he came up with that combination, but it should make for a fun show.
Yes, it'll keep people on their toes. One angle to the next.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And what do we got going on for your Sunday Rhythm and Rhyme?
Muddy Waters. Everybody's got some Muddy Waters in their repertoire. So pick your favorite tune, pen something to it, and drop it on in the contest.
I like it. Great choice there, Rex. Just an all-time brilliant musician. So, I think it's going to inspire some really awesome rights. So, very cool. And I know it's a little ahead of time, but I would also like to mention that Fill My Eyes is running a contest for the next Solace of Shadow show, which is Urban Legends, and it has two different urban legends you can write to. Mothman or La Llorona, I think that's how it's pronounced. Isn't the double L's pronounced with an R sound in Spanish, if I remember right?
Well, it depends. Or is that only because you look at eggs, huevos, double L's.
Oh, okay. I know sometimes the double L has the R.
Llorona.
Yeah, but yeah, so there's those two different, but yeah, so, oh my goodness, I probably mentioned way too many shows and people are confused at this point, but I just got to say, just like I always say, check out the Late Night Poets contest and topic boards, because there's a lot of inspiration out there. Well, this was a really fun show. I enjoyed the poetry, and enjoyed the company.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, everybody. Had a fun night. Poeta for hanging out the board. And I guess we'll be doing this again next week when we come around once more. Good night, everybody.